Let's turn now in the scriptures to Zechariah and chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, and we will be reading verses 1 through 9 of chapter 13. Zechariah 13, verses 1 through 9. And starting in verse 1, these are the words of God. In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for impurity. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who gave birth to him will say to him, you shall not live, for you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who gave birth to him will pierce him through when he prophesies. Also it will come about in that day that the prophets will each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies, and they will not put on a hairy robe in order to deceive. But he will say, I am not a prophet, I am a tiller of the ground, for a man sold me as a slave in my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. They will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. And those are the words of the Lord. And so this chapter is really written to the remnant, to all who believe in Christ. That is, at this time, in Zechariah's time, the coming Messiah. And here we find some promises. Verse 1 to them is the promise of the remission of sins, the cleansing of sin that we'll hear about in our text in Romans in a few minutes. Verse 2, there will be a reformation in the lives of those who follow after Christ, the Messiah. And no longer will they break the third commandment of taking the Lord's name in vain. And that's verse 2. And then through verse 6, the false prophets will be silenced and made to be ashamed. And from this verse 7, we have a clear prediction of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, who's called there the shepherd. And upon his crucifixion, we know the dispersion, that is the going out, the running away of the disciples, which we've seen in the book, the Gospels and the book of Acts, happens at that crucifixion. That's why it says that the sheep may be scattered. That was prophesied by our Lord. Verse 8, we've heard before the destruction of the Jewish nation already in this book, not long after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was due to their rebellion. They will be destroyed. That's what happens. We talked about in Sabbath school this morning. That's what happened in 70 AD. And then in verse 9, the remnant from that Jewish nation, the people of God, will be purified. And so, beloved, seek now to be of that remnant. Spiritually, you're not ethnically Jews, but spiritually, be of Israel, as Romans 9 later we'll talk about. And even Romans 2, that spiritual Israel, those who have their hearts changed. And so seek Christ alone for your salvation and cleansing of your sins. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, who rules over us, who defends us, and who keeps us, as we just sang in Psalm 121, who keeps us from all dangers, even in our souls. And so, Father, we pray this day, especially as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, that You would forgive us of our many sins. And Father, we pray, especially as we've heard in this passage, that You would forgive us of our breaking of the third commandment. A breaking of the third commandment, which is that we should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And Father, we do this every day. We do this when we do not evangelize, when we ought to, when there's an opportunity presented to us, and we do not tell someone of the gospel that needs to hear the gospel, even of our children. Father, forgive us of not evangelizing. Father, we break this command when we curse Your name, of course, and we curse God. And even use coarse language, which dishonors You. For we do not, in those times, live as those who are imaging You, imaging Christ, but failing to do so. Father, we break this command when we joke around about Your Word, joke around about the things of the gospel, when we do not speak the truth. Even when we lie, we break this command. And of course, we break the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And so, Father, in all these things, and many more ways that we break this command, and many others, Father, we pray that You would forgive us of our sins. And Father, we know that You are faithful and just to forgive us if we truly confess our sins before You. That You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For Your sake, for Your glory. And now we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who stands before You, Father, and pleads for us, who continually intercedes for us, who lives to make intercession for us, Your people. We're thankful that we not only have a king, but a priest who is a priest for us. And Father, we're thankful for Your Word, which we remember as Christ speaking to us and serves as a prophet to us, the greater prophet, the greater priest, and the greatest king. Father, we're thankful for who You are, the God in three persons, one God, and the same in substance, equal in power and glory in all Your persons. And Father, we're thankful that You're a God who does not change. You're a God who is perfect and true. You are holy and righteous. You are wise. You are all-powerful, all-wise, and all-present. Especially now with us by Your Spirit, who You lift up our hearts unto You before Your throne. And so now, even we sit, we stand, we worship before Your throne now, spiritually. And we are thankful for this, that You have made a way for us to the Holy of Holies before Your throne by the new and living way through Christ and His sacrifice, giving up His body and shedding His blood, that which was symbolized in the temple, the curtain that the veil that was separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom as Christ died on the cross, thereby making a way for us to come to You without having to come through a human being, through the high priest who came in once a year to make atonement. But rather we have now that perfect atonement made through Christ, and the perfect entrance to Your throne through Him and by Your Spirit. Father, we pray this day for our congregation, that You would bless us, that You would grow us, that You would give us wisdom as decisions for our future come soon. Father, and whether we should join a new denomination or stay where we are. Father, give us wisdom in these things. And Father, we pray that You would bring about a great harvest in Kansas City and and even that we would be able to partake in that, and many would come to our church and hear the gospel proclaimed and believe unto salvation. Of course, we don't ask this, that we would be able to boast in our church. We are your bride, and we are only here because of you. We come and we plead these things because we desire to boast in your name, to boast alone in the cross, as Galatians 6:14 says, to boast and glory in you alone. Father, we do pray for this morning for my fellow pastor, my brother, the one I went to seminary with, and his family as they mourn the loss of their father, who was not that old, who was a ruling elder in our denomination. Father, we pray for their family that you would comfort them at this time. And we're thankful again that we're able to pray for our brothers and sisters, even who are far off in distant places, far from here. Father, we do pray for, as we think of the rest of our congregation and where they come from, we pray for the church in South Sudan, that you would grow your kingdom there, as well as in Kenya, that you would have the gospel go forth there, and those many false teachers there, as we just read about, false prophets, they would be brought down, either that or be brought to be ashamed of their teaching and turn to the truth and believe unto salvation. And Father, we know that our country is no different. We'll hear about one doctrine today that is false teaching in your church in America. And so, Father, those false teachers and false prophets here in our nation, we pray that you would bring them down or either correct them, that they would preach the truth. And we know that you can do so because you're a God of almighty power. Father, we do also pray for our government, as you command us to in 1 Timothy 2, that you desire all people, even all kinds of people, like kings and rulers and those in authority, to be saved. And so, Father, we pray for our rulers, that you would save them, that you would grant them salvation in Christ alone by your word, and that they would rule according to your word and govern according to your word and according to your law and the principles that we find in it. Father, we also pray that we would be godly servants of our government, that we would be submissive to our governing authorities, as Romans 13 tells us and commands us, that the sword would not be brought upon us, and that even through our good submission to our government, when we are forced because of their law or because of their command to disobey you, that we would stand true and disobey them and not submit at those times. And they would begin to see that as we have been good citizens all this time, that they would wonder why would we be unsubmissive now. And we pray that you would open up opportunities even then for the gospel. We know that if things continue to go the way they are in our country and many other countries throughout the world, and that there will be a great persecution in our midst. There is a growing hatred for you and for us and your church throughout this world. And so, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us for the task that lays ahead, especially for those of us who are younger and who will most likely experience these things. Father, calls us to suffer well and to honor your name in all times. We pray in Jesus' name these things, and so hear us. Amen.